Nice. Good morning. I'm John. Previously, while I was talking to my friends over there in India, they used to, when we talk, they used to call me and say, "Did you preach somewhere in the church?" And I said, "No." "Do you want?" And "Yeah, you know I want." It is almost 6.5 years to come from there to here. 6.5 days, 6 years. So distance looks small, but the time is very long. I would like to take help of Josh. Josh, can you please read Malachi 3:6? Daniel, for you, Hebrew 13:8. They are full of energy, so I want to use them. The last book of Old Testament, Malachi 3 and 6. Anu has called me. Make sure you follow the time. So, God is good.
I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed.
Yeah, that's it. Can you please read it once again, the first line?
I, O Lord, do not change.
That's it, yeah. And 13:8, Hebrew 13:8. Malachi 3:6, God says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." Plain and clear, I do not change. And the next thing God says is in Hebrew 13:8,
"Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever."
Yesterday, today and forever. 100 years back, you were not there. And now you're here. And after 100 years, you'll not be there. But the God will be there. Our God is a Father who was, who is, and who is to come. Long back, around 2,000 years ago, while God was moving from in the Jerusalem, something has happened. Let's read chapter 9, verse 1. Pastor, can you please assist in reading first 3 verses, please? Chapter 9, John 9. Yeah, 3 words, please.
"As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'"
He was born blind. While Jesus, if you see, as he passed by, it started with the words, "as he passed by." Previous chapter, in the 8th chapter, there are few people who wants to stone Jesus, but he hid. And he was there in the temple, but he hid in the temple. And now, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. In the Jewish custom, they have their own traditions. They think if a person is blind, so something, a grievous and a very big sin has happened that was a result of this blind man. They believe that he has done something wrong, or his parents have done something wrong. So something has happened that made the man born blind. If you observe, few Jews have thought that he, whether he has done this thing, whether he was blind because he did sin, and how he can sin. The man was born blind. He cannot sin. So, not correct. His parents have sinned. Not everything is like that. There is a generational curse. I have personally heard the testimonies of the people who were in the jail, and their families have followed the path. That particular spirit is somewhat a very strong spirit. But in terms of here, it is not the parents' one. God made it clear. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of the God might be displayed in him. Strangely, God has, where the disciples of Jesus is asking a valid question. Jesus and the disciples are passing by, and it is a Jesus who has come to the blind man. We have heard a story of Bartimaeus. He was a blind man. He was shouting, Jesus, Jesus. But this man, he was sitting there. Generally, beggars have a tendency to group together so that they can be seen. They cannot see, but based on the people flow, they want to sit together so that they get the money. They get the attention of the people who pass by. But it seems like he's alone. He was doing the same thing as he usually does, just sitting and thinking. He has never seen from his birth. It is a very, very tough thing. He would have asked his father, mother, what I've done? Why? Why? Valid question, good question. Why? Strangely, parents has no answer. No answer what to say. And God, when he went to the person, blind man, and he answered to the disciples. So they're learning. God is training the disciples because he knows after some time he has to leave and they have to carry forward with the faith work. So he's teaching. God says, it was not that this man sinned or his parents. Disciples are looking what is the cause. God is looking what is the purpose. God is looking, this, the man's state is a difficult one. So the God will be glorified through this particular issue. What we think is different from what God thinks. We are living in a fallen world. There are healthy sinners and there are sick believers. Not everything good is rewarded. Not everything is punished. We are in a cursed world. Plain and clear. Why I haven't received this one? Because I have done the right thing. Sometimes we don't get it. We can't do it. Is God not there? Yes, he is there. God changed not. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In the fourth verse, he started, we must work. God is our chief worker. Whenever you feel like I don't like to work, remember one thing, God is a worker. He's a chief worker. From past 6,000 years, he has been working. The way the people, they are there in different geographical places. People go work and people sleep, people take rest. But strangely, God is not resting. He's working 24 hours a day. Why? Jesus loves us. The same God who was there yesterday, today and forever, he loves us. And he's our chief worker. Having sixth verse, having said these things, he spat on the ground in mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Jesus spat on the ground, made mud with saliva. It is like, probably for God, it is like a repetition. Previously he did it exactly like that in Genesis. Made a man from the mud. And again he's doing, probably he might be thinking of his memories. Wow, this is the right time. I have come, I'm doing it again. And this saliva healings, he has done it in the Mark chapter, in the Mark gospel. There are two saliva healings, and this is another saliva healing. Strangely, God has no particular way to do a miracle. Every problem has a different miracle style. God has done in 37 miracles recorded in the four Gospels. Everything is different. Turning water into wine. Impossible. Possible it is. And God has spoken while Jesus and the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee. He has spoken to the wind. Strange. Speaking to the weather. And God has spoken to the tree. Strange. And God, he is a very different God. Sometimes he comes and heals, and sometimes people has to plead for them. One woman has said, wow, because the healing, generally, it belongs to his children. That is our right, being as a Christian. But one woman has said, even the dogs will eat the breadcrumbs. Jesus was not listening. Jesus was passing by. But what woman, she was so persistent of the healing, she has been asking for the healing. God did not care. He was walking by and she was also passing by. She's expecting healing from the God. And God said, here you go. So God is a God of creative miracles. If you had a miracle of one particular thing, don't expect God to do the same way, though he can do it in the same way. Every problem has a different style of miracle. If you see the David, he killed Goliath in one particular style, but he never repeated that one in another one. Why? Every battle is different. We never outgrow warfare. We simply learn to fight in a different way. I repeat, we never outgrow warfare. We simply learn to fight in a different way. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam is a place where it is there in the Temple Mount, where Hezekiah has built a tunnel. At the end of the tunnel, we see the Siloam. And this is a place, the reason Hezekiah has built this one is to have a source of water to the city. So it was, at the time, it was a building a tunnel, and it was a very good engineering, probably he has used it, Hezekiah. And it was fantastic. He has prepared that one, or constructed, long back, and it's still there. Right now, it is still there, pool of Siloam. God has said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Look at this. He did not say, you're healed. He used the clay and closed it. Imagine. When the God used the clay and closed his eyes, he's healed. But he's not healed. He has to go to the pool of Siloam. We don't know where that place is. It can be nearby over here, or it can be where I am, or in the Tesco place. We don't know where it is. But it took faith of a man to move from one place to another. Healing is in going. Healing in doing what we are supposed to do. Healing depends upon what we keep hearing and doing. Healing is doing what we are supposed to do. It is the obedience. I have two keys over here. This key is to enter into the apartment. And this key is used to open the door of my house. If I use this key, I can enter into the apartment, and there are different flats over there. When God gives instructions, God always gives specific instructions. This is a place A, and let's say this is a place B. God had said to me, John, go to the place B. Okay, I'm going. Until I go, God will not give this key. Our destiny is, I have to go to my house. But you have to pass through this. Why it happens? I've been praying, I've been asking, why? You get this only after this. God has a tendency, until you pass this place, He do not let this give to you. This man, he was going, and he went, as usually, with a clay pack on his eyes. Look, he is no different. Firstly, he cannot see. And with this one, he cannot even see. When God is doing something, we do not see. There is an element of blindness in faith, but we have to keep walking because our miracle is near. It's our choice. That guy has every choice to go or stay somewhere or just ignore. But he chose to go. It's a choice. Obedience is a choice. You have come here because you are obedient to your own mind. This is a day and I have to go to church. It's your obedience. It's a choice. Did anyone force you? I don't think so. It's a choice. God has given him this. He told plainly, go and wash in Siloam. He went there and he washed. And look at that. A miracle has happened. God's words, God's instructions are plain and clear. If you can desire, habit is more powerful than desire. Everyone have desires. You have something to do. Everyone has a certain amount of goals or do things that they want to do. Desire won't come true if you don't create a habit. It was very good. I have, while I was preparing this one, I have created one habit. It is 10 minutes. Conversation, I have put the name, conversation. In that conversation, from 9:30 to 9:40, where John will be, he has an appointment with God. In the 10 minutes, I only ask God. It is not the prayer time. It is not the petition time. It's a question and answer time. The time I use, what I can change. What should I do better? How I should work? How I should dress? And then comes the silence. Now you say, Father. Did God say? No, he doesn't say. He wants me to develop as a habit so that I keep asking God. God loves questions. If you see the way that God works in all these Gospels, people are asking questions and he answers questions in the form of questions. God loves a question. It's the questions that host the answers. You create a habit. You only ask, Father, this is what I have done. This is what I have done. Don't bring any petitions on the time. On this 10 minutes of your own appointed time. Only ask. And God sometimes, after we become a regular ones. In when you say appointment with God, make sure you show up. You don't need to try to be spiritual. You don't need to be to your best or do something. Just stay calm. In the 10 minutes time, just stay calm. Do nothing in case. Sometimes we don't try to go to the place because of the situations or the problems we face. Just stay there and just listen to God. If he doesn't talk, that's perfectly fine. At least you have a peace. When you have a problem, always speak to God. Always speak to God. And that is there we say the question time. And God gives sometimes a command. But God gives plans. When you make it as a habit, when you start asking the questions, God gives you the plan. A carefully laid plan, if you take to the God, he will bring out the errors, what needs to be corrected. He will bring out the other person's wishes, desires for you. Appointment with God is for our benefit. The man is healed. And strangely, opposition came up. When a man is healed from the blindness, the opposition came up. The neighbor said, is it the same man? And then other people said, I think so. I've seen the same man who is sitting there for many years. And now he can see. Previously, it never happened in the history of Israel, a man born blind is healed. Yes. There were resurrections, three resurrections, if you see in the Old Testament, in the 1 Kings and 2 Kings. The widow's son is resurrected. Shunammite's son is resurrected. And the body and the dead body of Elisha's, when someone has thrown it, they were resurrected. And they were very personal healings, very less healings. But when the Jesus came, he was there for 3.5 years. For 30 years, nothing has come up. God only studied the word. Only word he studied. He never started preaching or healing. Why? In Hebrew terms, for Jews, they believe once you are in 30, then you are eligible for the preaching. So he prepared for very, very long years. In which age, if you see, in which age he started learning, from the very young age, even the mother has forgotten that where his son is. It's impossible. But Mary has forgotten. And he was very engaged. He was there in the temple. Because the work is so long. And he needs a so long preparation for that 3.5 years miracles one. Just for 3.5 years, somehow God himself, when he was on the earth, he has to prepare long. He has to stay in his place. He has to understand it. Imagine how much conversation he had. How much Father used to speak to God. Because Jesus took an appointment with the God, the Father. We have a God who is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Spirit. Equally harmonious in terms of the glory, in terms of the power, in the terms of the strength. And here, the Jesus, physical Jesus, he has an appointment with time, asking God for help, asking God to strengthen him. And he was so much in the word, he is a word, and in the 3.5 years time, the miracles started exploding. And this thing has created jealousy, pain in terms of Pharisees. They couldn't understand it. Who is this man? He's a sinner. How can he do the miracles? We don't know who this man. We learn, and we are the disciples of the Moses. But whereas this guy, who is he? Because the pain is so much. Why? Because he has been miracle. There is an explosion of miracles. Every time wherever Jesus go, people follow. Generally, why people follow? There is some craziness. Unless you have one particular person, you don't get that kind of zeal to follow him. If you see, for 3 days people followed him. Impossible. How can a 3 days say they can follow him? They do have their own daily work to do, but people follow him, and Jesus has healed him. The primary reason why God heals, because he has a compassion on us, and he believes that Jesus, as a children of God, we have a right for the healing. And whenever a person is healed, devil is fallen. You heal, devil is fallen. Faith is something very peculiar and strange, and there's very strong word and a spiritual force. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is voice activated. Unless you speak out, say, I believe you, God, I accept you, God, you are not saved. So faith is something ongoing one. You have to speak out to have a faith. And your faith determines your experiences. If you have a different types of experience, remember which good experience you have. You see, you had a great faith, and that delivered you that miracle. When you are Brian, when you are in the hospital, when you had tough times, we had to pray for you. And we believed for you. Ash and Evan, for days together they prayed for you because they want to see you heal. And here you are. We need each other. As a Christians, we need each other. And that is what the God loves. Here he says, and this particular man, here the blind man name was not presented, but while I was looking, I have found out in Eastern tradition, his name was called Celidonius. This blind man name is called the Celidonius. How far, how accurate, I'm not sure, but his name is called the Celidonius. The Celidonius, the healed man, now has to confront his neighbors. Neighbors could not believe him that he is healed. And later, Pharisees. Here I want to say about Pharisees. There were the two divisions in the Jews, Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees, they believe the written word of law. And Sadducees, they believe the written word of law. Pharisees, apart from believing the written word of law, the first five books of the Bible, called Torah, they also believe the revelations, the traditions that is followed from one prophet to the another prophet. They believe in the small prophets and the big prophets. Like say, Isaiah is a big prophet. And Malachi or Amos is a small prophet. It is not, there are no divisions, but as a prophet we are speaking in terms of the books that are written. So they believe in the spirit, Pharisees. They believe after life, but whereas Sadducees, they are like elite people. They don't believe in resurrection. They don't believe the spirits exist. So they are the members of Sanhedrin. That is the court of the Jews. And Pharisees, they are knowledgeful. They are religious. They believe that God will going to come to Jerusalem. He will going to save Jerusalem and rule from Jerusalem. They have a very good knowledge of Torah. But they have to confront Jesus. And Pharisees has asked, how you are healed? Then the story comes up. Celedonia says, and he said to go to the pool and wash with water. They have thought, how can it be? How washing with water can heal a born blind one? They couldn't understand it. No, not a valid one. Let's ask his parents. His parents has come up and said, okay, look at this. Is this your son? Yes, he's my son. Okay, fine. Was he blind? Yeah. Was he born blind? Yes, he is. Right, okay. So far, so good. Okay. How is he healed? The parents were told by their very good friends, if you speak the truth, you'll be sent off from the synagogue, where the place of worship. They said, okay, we'll try to keep it. They're very clever. So God is good. They said, ask him, he's of the age. So he's more than 30 years old. Ask him. And again came the Pharisees asking the person, now tell me how you're healed. And this man, Celedonius, he said, his name is Jesus. So probably when he was healed, he went to the place and said, who is the guy who has put clay? Probably someone have seen him and told him his name is Jesus. And then comes, okay, he's a Jesus, he told the Pharisees. And later he told, he's a prophet. How does he know he's a prophet? Because the works of the prophets, what has been done for many years, now he can see it. Now he can experience it. So now he's saying he's a prophet. From little knowledge to the greater knowledge he's going. Without God you are different. Now you are different. Without God you had no knowledge or very little knowledge about God. Now your knowledge is increasing about the God. That is exactly what God wants from you. And then he said, how are you healed? Celedonia said, how can it be? How many times have I told you? He told me to go and wash in Siloam. I went and washed my wash, and then that's it, I'm healed. Pharisees could not understand it. How can this going to happen? And later, Celedonius, he was unhappy with this Pharisees. And while he said something, he tried to teach the Pharisees, they got angry. Jealousy is something very painful once. When other people grow, it is natural sometimes to be jealous. I don't know about you, but I am jealous also. This guy, the Pharisees, become so jealous, so angry, they drive him out and said, no more, go away from my place. We are the people from Moses. But they still can't understand how this man got healed. And God has healed, strangely, on Sabbath day. There are seven healings on the Sabbath. Why God has chosen the Sabbath? He has unusual style of breaking the tradition of the people who believe this is the only way. He did it on the Sabbath day. Sabbath, one word, three different views. For Jews, Sabbath begins from Friday evening to Saturday evening. For Christians, from Sunday morning to the next day once. And for devil, it's a place and meeting of the witches. Place of meeting for the evil spirits. For them it is Sabbath. Three different views. And God used Sabbath to deliver a person for the healing. And at last he went. And he went to the place and he was probably searching or looking for Jesus. And Jesus has come, has met with this man and says, shall we read? Yeah. In 35 verse, John chapter 9, 35 verse. Anyone please? Yeah. Yes, please. Now.
Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him.
Yes, please. Thank you. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now comes the blind man. With opened eyes, with a miracle in his hand, he has come face to face with Jesus. And do you believe in the Son of Man? God is asking again question. And he said, yes, I do believe. And now, God says, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. We have lots of problems. We have different problems. As we grow every year, we have to face different battles. We need to have faith. It is our responsibility to develop our faith. And it is the neighbor's responsibility to sow the seeds of doubt. You have to guard your day. You have to guard your faith. And no one is responsible for that. And if faith is the only voice God loves to listen, God loves to be believed. Doubt is a tragic one. As doubt produces tragedies so quickly, faith produces miracles so quickly. Your faith determines your experiences. Try to give most attention to the faith in your day-to-day life. Sometimes you might do some work and straight away question, am I increasing my faith today? One question, sometimes it keeps developing one. Everyone has an element of darkness as you move from one place to another. You need to have faith to receive your miracle. Yet the old blind man, he received his miracle because he simply be obedient to God and follow the instructions, simple and plain. Sometimes God gives us simple and plain instructions. One day in the United States, one Baptist church pastor, he has to go to the next different state to attend the meetings. And he was prepared for that. And as he woke up in the morning, he said to his wife, somehow I feel like I don't want to go. And he said later, I have to go because the other pastor has asked me and there's a 3-day prayer meeting. And he drove to the airport. It is for the 3 days and he took the flight. But the flight is collapsed and he's dead. After a few days, one pastor has gone to this woman and said, how it happened? And that woman told her plight. When he woke up, he felt uneasy. He felt uncomfortable. He felt that he should not go. He kept saying to me, I feel like I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But the duty says you have to go. He don't want to go, but the duty says he wants to go. And the duty dragged him what he should not do. It was maybe the Holy Spirit saying, don't go. Simple, soft voice. The danger of the Holy Spirit is he's simple and soft. We love to listen to the loud music. We love to listen to strong, powerful words. But the Father God is so soft, it is hard to listen to his voice. God, Holy Spirit, is the God of knowledge and God of wisdom. Here, this man has to have a wisdom to differentiate between the right voice and wrong voice. If you observe your failure, you would have listened to the wrong voice. If you observe your success, you would have listened to your right voice. It is difficult to understand whose voice is the right voice and whose voice is the wrong voice. There you need the wisdom, and God says, I will give you the wisdom if you ask me, and I will give you generously. It is our responsibility to ask for the wisdom. It is our responsibility to believe and act on it. He moved it and something wrong has happened. We need God to tell us that this is wrong. Don't do it. Command. Sometimes command is so simple and clear. Don't do it. No questions asked. Don't do it. You don't know what will happen. The darkness is so different and so powerful that different levels of darkness. It is our responsibility to develop our faith. And when, as we overcome things, as we pray for the people, as we do the things we are supposed to do, as there is an Oscars over here, we do have a heavenly Oscars. And also we do see God face to face. Do you believe me? You trusted me. You have done this one. And here is the one. Sit beside me. Be with me. Imagine the glorious days you're going to have for all the pain you have suffered. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Can you please repeat once again? Malachi 3:6. And Hebrews 13:8, please. That's it. I am the Lord that do not change. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is good. All the time. Thank you.